So we're live.
We're live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast, and it's hosted by Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
I am tired. I'm not well. Like I said, this is a reminder of not to do this with Phoebes and Chris. This is Phoebes and Chris's fault. They made me do this. Yes, so
you did it to yourself.
I'm slightly, and Molly as well. Molly was there. A slightly hungover and tired Paul. But yes, I am excited because it's kind of like a soft goodbye, but also the start of something new as well. So this face, you'll not be seeing this around for a little while. That's probably a good thing because you've got me sick of it. But
not
yeah,
I'm still here.
But yes, oh, there's Lee. And Lee had a rotten egg, like, not a rotten egg, like a raw egg last night. For no other reason.
What is wrong with you?
For no other reason that he wanted to be rocky. Yes. So.
Oh, wow.
But yes. Yeah. We're going to get a disclaimer out early because there's a lot to talk about and there's going to be a lot of opinions. So yes.
Yes, there is. Sure. Everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on the Facebook page. You can join us in the Discord or the comment section where we can have an open discussion. Mm-hmm. What we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of her nerdism. Did you think I could not see you?
It's fucking warm.
I'm fucking freezing. Look, hence the reason I've got a hoodie on.
The beads of sweat that's coming down this bald head. I'm shinier than, like I say, a baby's nap out there. But yes.
Hi, everyone. It's Sunday.
There's a few of yous in the chat, so I just want to appreciate yous as well. So, Chris, you're always here. Cheers. Phoebe, Lee, Becca, Kelly, Molly's turned up on a Sunday as well. So, thank
Molly's
you, Molly.
Molly's here.
We've got a Toonie, so not Tony, Sam. It's Dave. It's not Tony. But yes, thank you everyone who's watching. Thank you everyone who's taking part. Thank you everyone who's taking part. And we've got a Kelly who's in hospital.
Kelly.
With a suspected heart attack because she's that fucking rock and roll that she can't keep her down. But yes.
Nothing can keep our Kelly down. We hope you get well soon, Kelly. And thank you for joining us from your hospital bed.
Yes.
Sunday, we're starting something new.
Yes, so we're not doing movies. Well, we are doing movies. It's not a specific movie. We're going to have a conversation, like a talking piece, like more of a general, like
chit-chatty. We're going to pick a subject matter, and we're just going to talk about it. Whatever that comes out of it, comes out of it.
Yeah.
But first,
yeah,
we're going to cover some nerd news.
Yes, the nerd news. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah, we need some music for that.
Yeah.
If we're going to do nerd news, we need some music. Get
Phoebes to sing us a song, Nerd News.
Oh, Phoebe, could you? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, so we're going to be introducing a new spot where if there's nerd news, we're going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
Or we're going to talk about it. And there was some nerd news last night.
Yeah.
Because Netflix decided to drop a shitload of trailers.
Yes, not just Netflix. There's a lot of different places that's come out. And so, yeah, that's true. It's been exciting.
It's been something. I'm going to leave the last one to last. The one that's really
the last one to last.
The last one to last.
And I'm the hungover one here, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm crashing so hard right now. Yeah, I'm going to leave the best one to last.
Right.
We had, first off, when Netflix had a, I generally thought it was like an influencer thing, but it wasn't. It was a, this is what we've got coming out kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they dropped a buttload of trailers on us.
Yeah, they did the thing that, what was it, DC did a few years, where they couldn't have a convention, they'd done an online convention type thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, remember Marvel and Disney? No, Disney did it. Remember Disney did it? And it was just like, boom, boom, all, like, it was when we found out about the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Netflix did the same thing, and they dropped, first one off the bat in my head is One Piece.
No, Squid Games. Squid Games was the first one, because that was when...
I didn't see that one, that's why it went out of my head.
Yes. There was a lot going on, but the Squid Games was one, because we were watching it, and we were like, oh, I can't remember this on Squid Games when they had a full dance routine. I was like, okay, is this going to be in the new season? But yeah, we shall see. Oh, but
okay,
yeah.
So Squid Games, that's coming out...
Next month?
Next month, wow, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then One Piece.
Yeah, where we got to see a Tony Chopper!
Tony Chopper!
Yeah.
Yeah, the most adorable little. I don't know what he is because I'm not a woman. I don't
He's
watch
a
One
reindeer.
Piece.
He's a
Is
reindeer.
he?
He's a little reindeer, yes. Lee, being an anime fan, could tell us.
Oh, he is a number one anime fan, isn't he?
No, he's the Dragon Ball fan, but he could.
Oh, right,
But
Dragon Ball.
yeah, but don't take that away from Jake. Jesus Christ, he'll kill us all now.
I don't need that. I work with Jake. So One Piece, then it was confirmed that Lady Gaga will be in Wednesday season two because she did a fucking amazing performance of Abracadabra. I absolutely, I've watched it about seven times. It was amazing. What really got me though was this whole amazing dance performance is going on with all these amazing, like, it's just, oh, she's just fantastic. And then Jenna Ortega sitting at the end of the table looking like somebody literally just pissed in a cereal.
Isn't that just the general look she gives these days now? It's like
Just
that's how she acts. It's
it
like
with how amazing the choreography is for Abracadabra. Is it Abracadabra? Whatever the song's called. But how amazing the choreography is. It would have been fucking unreal if Jenna Ortega just got up at the end and started dancing. It would have been so good. So then we had Wednesday season two trailer for that came out.
We had Happy Gilmore too.
I'll be watching it. I'm not gonna lie. I will be
It
watching
looks
it.
like a shot by shot remake of the first movie, to be fair.
Apart, yeah. But I can't wait for it. I love an Adam Sandler film, and I can't. And it's Happy Gilmore. How could you not? We all love the
Back.
first one.
Why won't you go in your home? You're too good for your home.
Oh, I love it. And then who else? Who else? Oh, Guillermo del Toro's
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
That looks
Holy
beautiful.
shit.
Oscar Iver, Oscar I Isaacs, is it?
Isaacs,
Isaac,
yeah.
he's going full mad scientist there. Look nuts. But
It
yeah.
looks amazing.
Am I right or wrong? Is it Christian Bale playing Frankenstein?
I think so, yeah.
Right, okay. That'll be
Because
interesting.
I remember the concept art that came out. Because that's all we had up until now was just concept art. So yeah. Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, which going to Netflix?
Yeah, it's not going to
It's had
cinema.
a
It's not
I
going to
know, and
cinema.
it's had a lot of people talking as to, not in a bad way, but like, yay, we're getting it to Netflix. We're going to get it sooner. It's going to be easily available to us. But why? But you don't know. You don't know what money they're offering.
And also, I've got breaking news as well before we get to the big one, because I know there's Knives Out as well, but like I say, that I'll be honest, I'm not as excited for that because the second one, The Glass Onion, was a bit shit. But like I say, we could do better, but till we get to the big breaking, big news, the big one that me and you both like nerded out massively for. I've had a little voice in my ear. Did you know that we've got people in the chat that were in some movies in the 80s?
What?
Did you not hear this? I've just heard it now. I'm gonna
Well,
show some.
my God,
I'm
no.
gonna show this evidence. So here's some photographic evidence of some Goonies.
Oh, wow.
So there's some people. Look, like I didn't realize this. There were
I
extras in the
didn't
movie.
know
Yeah.
that.
So we've got an amazing Lee getting like looked after by Phoebe and Mother Becca kind of looking after them. So like I say.
Look at Phoebe, she's so cute.
So yes, so that like I say, that's news. But also, got some more. I got told this as well. So we found out we've got two experts at reading a pirate's treasure map. So look at these two handsome gentlemen there, looking at that map, looking like I say, like they're taking it all in. They're going to find some rich stuff.
This is groundbreaking news, by the way.
Yeah. So
Like,
yes.
Chris's face will never not look good on anything Superimposed like this class.
I just look how
Yeah,
smoked Tony looks as well.
he's like, I can read a map.
Yes. Sorry, I was going to do that at the start, but I forgot.
That's how chaotic tonight's gonna be, isn't it? Yeah, the big one. The big one. The big one. I'm so excited. They've announced, not announced because we already knew it was going to happen, but they have given us the release dates for Stranger Things Series 5. So, Volume 1 comes out November 26. Volume 2 comes out Christmas Day. Volume 3, the finale is going to be New Year's Eve. Holy shit, the bed.
Do you think they're going to do it? if Netflix is smart, I don't know how they would do it. Like, well, they can release it at different times, like around the world. If they can have the show ending
At the same time.
at midnight.
Well, there's been a lot of conversation obviously come out of this, and I have been up since 4 o'clock this morning, so I have seen it all. People complaining that it's too spaced out, people not understanding that it's actually a month and not a year that they're spreading this out over. And also the time. So if it gets released the same time across the world, which is what they are saying, we technically won't get it until Boxing Day or New Year's Day. So I don't know.
It'd be interesting to know, but again, I am excited. We saw clips, and I know I've seen the photographs as well. It looks like it's going to be intense. The boys look like they've grown a little bit as well, and I think we are going to get a big reveal with Will. I think Will is key, especially with the start, how it's mentioned about when you've got Winona Ryder's character basically talking about the day he disappeared. So I think that's going to be exciting, and I am very much there for it. And I think that leads on nicely because, as I said, we are going to be talking about movies we loved from the 80s. And Stranger Things is probably just one of the most 80s TV shows that has been made in a long time.
100%. It's so influenced by 80s pop culture, 80s writing, 80s aesthetic. Well, it is. It started in 1983 is the year it starts, and takes you up to 86 is the last year that we're there. So we're still banging the 80s. I can't wait. I remember when season four came out, it was such a good time to be on the internet because everyone was at, like, especially the Nerdy Up North group on our Facebook group. It was just absolutely buzzing, and it was so much fun to be a part of that hype train. And I can't wait. I really hope people can take the positives out of the fact that they're spreading this out and really get on board with the fandom as it's happening.
So I'm going to call this now because, like, say, if you're not part of the Nerdy Up North Discord, what are you doing with your life? These people aren't just friends, they are family. Why don't we try and do a watch along? Because we don't really do much on New Year's Eve. Like,
No, we don't.
because we're quite boring,
Because we're really
and we're
boring.
40s and stuff. So why don't we do a watch along for the final episode of Stranger Things in the Discord
We
and
could do.
experience it together and go
All
through the
together
emotions
as
together,
a family.
and we'll cry together and we'll hold each other's hands and like across the
Oh
internet.
God, I will not. I swear to God, I won't have my camera on because anyone needs to see me ugly cry. Because that's what'll happen. That sounds like a good idea. Because yeah, we are. We even did an episode on New Year's Eve. That's how we roll here.
I think we did a quiz as well one time, but yeah.
Did
So, many, many moons ago. So,
Yeah.
ultimate question now, Sammy. I'm going to put you
Go
on
on
the
then.
spot. And again, you're not allowed to say, well, no, I'll not do that because that's a cunt's move. What would you say is the ultimate quintessential 80s movie that defined the decade?
Oh, okay. Defined the decade.
Yes. Now, because
Ghostbusters. I
I nearly said you weren't allowed to pick that, but I was getting, no, I'll not take
it.
it. Because again, that would be not fair. Because I would say Ghostbusters is one of the biggest and most defining movies of the 80s. It started a whole new phrase, a whole new, I say, type of movie. Comedy horror slash horror, like say into wide, had either been done where it was like slapstick or over the top. Where Ghostbusters, and I've said this on many a podcast, if you take the jokes out, it is a genuinely scary movie and one of the greatest jump scares in. So I'm not going to mock you or say that, of course, you're going to pick that because, again, that is a good shout. I do think that is an impressive shout. But yes. So Ghostbusters is yours. I know why yours is. Do you want to tell the story for all the folks at home why Ghostbusters
If you've never listened to us before, then this is going to be brand new to you.
is
If you have listened to us before, this is old news.
yours?
I want to say grew up on Ghostbusters, but that is an actual understatement. For 10 years of my life, I literally watched Ghostbusters every single day. Every day. two, three times a day if I could get it in. It's the only thing I watched. The only thing I watched and the only thing I ate was peanut butter sandwiches, hence the reason why I was a very skinny kid and have multiple problems with food as an adult. But yeah, I watched it every single day. I know it inside out, back to front. Nobody will actually sit and watch it with us anymore because I quote things before it actually happens. I love it. There's been a lot of things in my life that has come and gone.
But
That
Ghostbusters has
never
stayed
did.
with you.
It Ghostbusters never left. It's
No.
always been here. And I did actually have a Ghostbusters t-shirt on earlier, but I'm so fucking cold. So I had to put Halloween on, which I appreciate is not from the 80s, but I'm still cold.
Let's pretend it's Halloween too, and one can get away with that one. Right.
Go
I'll answer
on
the
then.
question, and it's not going to be the answer you expect. Because,
Well, yeah, because everyone's gonna think the obvious.
yeah, everyone's going to think it's these guys. But no.
Well, some
Or
incarnation of them
even
guys.
these guys, but no, it's not going to be the Goonies, unfortunately. Like I say, I love the Goonies. I don't think it defines the decade. It's a very big part of the decade. It's a big part of my childhood and nostalgia thing. I do think the biggest movie or the most defining movie, and it is one of the most perfect movies. There's not many perfect movies out there, but I do think this one is Back to the Future.
Yeah,
Because there's
I
not a
agree.
scene that when you watch back, I going back through, it ticks every single box. Soundtrack, amazing. Visuals, amazing. Practical effects, perfect. Cast, you do not get a better cast. Even Crispin Glover and his mental
And his craziness,
craziness. Yeah.
and his absolute craziness. I went running into the bedroom earlier because for some reason I am hyper as fuck today. So I went running into the bedroom and I just went, Anthony, greatest 80s movie of all time, go. And he just went, oh man, you can't do that, there is no. I went, no, go. And he was like, Back to the Future. I was like, yeah. It was Power of from Back to the Future was my wedding song. Because why not? Well, it was one of them. I get it. Scientific. We've already had this discussion many times. Well, scientifically, it has been proven to be the most perfect movie of all time.
Yes. It literally ticks every single box. It has the right, like, the bad guy gets his comeuppance. It's fun. There's a little bit of incest in there, which, again, like I say, it depends which part of America you're from, is kind of okay.
Could be okay. Yeah, we don't know.
Yes. But I'm just interested as well, because I'm like I say, I'm looking in the chat as well. Some of the names that's coming out, there's some ones that you would think jump out, like Aliens,
Yeah,
Predator,
Breakfast Club.
RoboCop. Have to give Kelly big clap. Heathers, what a fucking choice.
I love Heathers.
Christian Slater is a heartthrob.
It's
Breakfast
how they
Club.
talk. It's how they talk in Heathers. It's just the dialogue in it is so. It's like it's 90s before it even became like the 90s was there. It was so crazy. Yeah, I love Heathers. Sorry, you were saying the Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club. But again, if you think about it as well, all the films that came afterwards in the 90s that people like love. You wouldn't have, if it wasn't for Heathers, you wouldn't have Clueless, you wouldn't have Mean Girls. This is the film that kind of defined and started that kind of like culture where
Yeah.
skill, because every type of, like you say, you go to school, it was always done in like a portrait, or unless it was a horror film like Carrie, which again, you never wanted to go to that school. But
Fuck
like
no.
teen schools was always shown in a certain light. Heathers showed a kind of realism and brutality that teenagers were going through, like all the different things, like suicide, hating yourself, hating your friends at times as well. It was so, like say, on the nose as well.
But making it satirical, making it lighthearted, making it, not taboo. Let's not be afraid to have these conversations, kind of thing. Got to give Becca props. Grease 2, greatest musical of all time. Tops Grease 1. Just saying.
It has better
It is
songs. I'll give you that. I love Grease. Better acting than Grease 1, but it's got better songs
so.
in Grease 2.
We at work sing Grease 2 on a regular basis when we're in the office. Cool Rider does not go missing on a Wednesday in the office. But I don't know why. I started listening to some of the songs on YouTube when I was working from home, and it took us into a documentary. And holy shit, Grease 2 was meant to be the thing. So the whole entire cast of Grease 1 got behind this, and they were so happy for it. Like Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta were meant to play a part in it, but due to contractual things with other projects, they couldn't do it. But they give their full back, and they even actually got the reason they got the money for it in the first place is because the original cast was so on board with it. They thought this was going to be the tits.
Yeah.
They genuinely thought this was going to... Michael Caulfield, Rex Manning, thought this was going to make him.
Yeah. And
how bitterly disappointed he was when it didn't.
But give us Michelle Pfeiffer, so that again.
She had no right to be in that movie. Not just because it's Michelle Pfeiffer and
careful,
Catwoman, but she cannot sing for shit.
That's Tony's woman you're talking about. He'll come in and he'll kick off.
What's Tony going to do? You ever seen me hungry before, Tony? I'm a lovely person.
Yeah.
But she had no right to be in that movie.
No.
She even says herself, like, she can't sing for shit.
No.
But she managed to pull off one of my most favourite roles of hers. I love it. I love Grease 2. So thank you for bringing that up, Becca.
Yeah. But just a question as well, because I know we've had this discussion, and I think everyone's sick in the back teeth of my opinions with the 80s movies, because me and Sammy are of an age where we like enjoyed the 80s, kind of lived through them and embraced them. Because everyone, like the age-old argument that keeps them going through nerd culture, especially in our circles, is 80s versus 90s. Which had the better movies or which, because again, there's arguments for both. But why do you think the 80s created or had such a special time for movies? Not just like, say, in general, like we had big movies like Empire Strike Back, we had some small ones like License to Drive, horror movies franchises start like Nightmare Before Elm Street, so many creative and different types of stories that were getting showed at this time that either seem to have got lost or scared me. What, like, again, I know I give my opinions, but what do you think is the reason for that? I know.
I it's something that you've said before, and I really do agree with you, is the 80s took more risks. Not just took more risks, they stopped giving a shit. Like, they really, the more fun they were having, the more crazier the movie was. I have wanted to this year, and it's not, and it will, I will get to it eventually, but for Monsters, I want to do more 80s horror. I loved the 80s horror that we did last year. There's some of the most batshit crazy movies ever, like Mortal Hell has no fucking right to be as good as it is, but it's fucking brilliant because it is, has that 80s aesthetic running through it, and that not giving a shit, and oh yeah, I totally agree with what you've said in the past about 80s movies. They're fun, they're exciting, they're different. It's the 70s was so no, I don't want to say steal, because that would be so wrong. Like, my favorite movie, The Exorcist, is from you know, the 70s, so it's just it was almost too serious.
Yeah, it was like there was a lot of art house or big budget art house movies that was made in the 70s. Then, like, the 80s were the risk takers, like movies that shouldn't be made, or like just wacky ideas, like Weird Science was, I think, wrote within 24 hours. That was the script, not to make, but to write the script was done in 24 hours. And they're like, right, we're going to make this film because we needed to make a wacky movie. Like, say, and again, movies like Porky's and stuff came out, like stuff that shouldn't work. And again, our if you go back to our like very first episodes, we used the audio from Revenge of the Nerds. So again, movies like that where it's kind of influenced and probably not PC or not, like, say, what we would call, they were very much of the time, shall we say, languages and stuff that were okay to use then, or not okay to use then, but again, we was used then because people weren't educated and like knowing what the ramifications was. But then we had the 90s, which was the birth of the blockbuster and the birth of the franchise, where everyone was like, okay, we want the next big thing, we want the next, like to make, how many movies can we make from this one movie? Because in the 80s we had franchises, but they were mostly horror.
But like, did we know we had franchises, though? That's the thing, like, did we really understand in the 80s what the franchise actually was? Because if so, Ghostbusters is a franchise straight away in the 80s because two movies came out, Indiana Jones, Star Wars. But we didn't quite understand what the franchise actually was until it got into the 90s. And it's like, we're gonna merchandise, because the merchandise that really starts to hype up in the 90s, and it's like, we're gonna merchandise everything around this fucking huge franchise. When it's like, what's a franchise?
But that's the thing, because in different times you get booms of different types of movies. Like now we're in the superhero boom. The 90s was like kind of like the renaissance of the teen slashers.
Oh
The
yeah. Oh,
80s was the boom industry, and someone said in the chat for comedies. I like you can't the amount of comedians or actors or even films that came out in the 80s that were just pure daft comedies, and ones that either were on every single bank holiday, every Sunday, used to have like say these daft like movies that used to come out. Some of them made absolutely no sense at all, but they were absolutely hilarious. Like, how many movies did Eddie Murphy make in the 80s from like his live performance on Raw? When he did Raw, that's when he came out, and we got like things like Trading Places, Coming to America, Beverly Hills Cop. And again, it's like going through in like 48 hours with which is absolutely like a brilliant action movie as well. Cause don't worry, we'll get onto the action film side a little bit later as well, because all these different elements, I think, again and again, getting on my soapbox with the different risks and like the culture then, it was kind of like making movies was an expensive business, but not to the degree where it is now, where you could take risks on a comedy, like, oh, like we'll make a stupid like say movie with we'll stick Chevy Chase in and send him on a vacation and see what happens. But again, it's such a shame that those risks are like it doesn't seem to be happening now.
These comedies are I'm sorry, I think some of the best is some of the stuff that I grew up with. My dad loves comedy, so the likes of Steve Martin was not lost on me at a young age. Man with Two Brains, I shouldn't understand half the shit that is in that film, but I still fucking loved it. It's still absolutely hilarious with Dr. Fafar. Ha ha. I've just made myself laugh. You shouldn't laugh at your own joke, should you? But yeah, I'm looking at a list of comedy movies, and some of them I've never even heard of half of them. But there is a lot of Chevy Chase in there.
Yeah, but it's like I know, like, so certain actors don't like now when you look back and like the things they've done, it's kind of like, oh, but you can still appreciate, or like say for certain things that are done, because it's not just Chevy Chase that's in the movie, there's different people, there's different people
I
that's
know.
worked on it. But if you think back, like it gave us people like John Candy, like Planes,
Tom
Trains,
Hanks.
Tom Hanks, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, The Great Outdoors, which we did a review on, which again is one of the best.
Oh, I love
And
it.
again, there's a little one with John Candy where he goes on, it's called Summer Vacation. And it's basically just like a holiday where everything goes wrong for this person. And it's just like his dialect, like the way he performs and does everything is just amazing. But again, you've just nailed it as well. The 80s pretty much give us the biggest actor of any generation, Tom Hanks. Like the roles.
Question. Question. Sorry, before it burns up my brain. The Burbs. Horror or comedy?
Satire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's only because it's sitting the lists that I've it's just the Google list of 80s movies, and it's come up on the thrillers section, the horror section, and the comedy section. So it's like, where does The Burbs fall? I love that film.
That's the thing.
It's
Again, you can have that discussion again. What do you describe as a horror film? Because you can have like kids' movies that's horror. If anyone tells me that Return to Oz isn't a horror movie, you're an absolute crazy person.
Sadist is what you are.
Roald Dahl's The Witches is still one of the scariest films I have ever seen. But again, it's still marketed as a kids' film.
See,
It's.
this is where me and you differ. You got scared by it, I got inspired by
Start throwing, chasing down the women.
this
Take
is
your wig
where
off.
this is where we differ. There is some absolutely classic horror in the 80s. Lost Boys, They Live, Poltergeist, The Thing. Like, this is some mind-bending, mind-blowing horror that is coming out of like fucking critters.
Evil Dead.
Evil Dead. Oh my God, we are on an Evil Dead thing at the moment, and we decide we're like, oh, we're gonna watch Evil Dead 2 because Evil Dead 2 is just a rehash of Evil Dead 1. And the minute we put it on, we just went, we're gonna have to watch the first one, aren't we? So we had to go back. We have to watch the first one in order to get the second one. Oh, it's such a good film. Such, again, risk-taking way of doing movies. Sam Raimi was quite risque in his work.
And again, I think wasn't it during the 80s where we had like the video and nasty careers where we like
Fuck.
a lot of the video a lot of the movies that were made would like weren't allowed to be seen. We had like Driller Killer, Wes Craven's, was it the 80s for Wes Craven's Last House on the Left? That was it was the 80s, wasn't it?
Possibly,
1980, I think.
I can Google that, but the likes of Child's Play, which would now, you know, are now watching in 2025 eyes, you'd look at that and go, well, what the fuck? But back in the 80s, this was a movie that was to be feared because kids will, you know, try to imitate this little gingerhead doll and go off and on a killing spree because that's what parents actually fucking thought. And he was a not that I ever watched Child's Play as a kid. It's the what horror doesn't scare me. I have been watching it since I was 8 years old. The only thing that did scare me was the first horror film I ever watched. If you want to go back on a Monsters episode, I talk all about it. It's the worst movie ever. Dolly Dearest. Dolls scare me. And
So,
he is one.
so again, like, because that's interesting that you didn't watch that movie as a kid. Let's be real. In the 80s, like when we were growing up, like no one used to take any consideration for the ratings on the movies. Like it could have been a U, PG, 15, 18. We were allowed to watch them. Like
Oh,
most parents and most of my friends at school, we used to have like viewing parties. As like the rule in my house was, as long as there's isn't gratuitous sex scenes, then like I said that was where like the thing. Because I remember watching was it Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, round my cousin's house, like in a full house full of the neighbors' kids, watching it like and just going, "What the hell is this?" Because that was the first. I think that was the first Nightmare on Elm Street I ever seen was
Was
the
it?
Dream Warriors one.
Oh no, mine was Nightmare on Elm Street. And I always remember the night they tried to get my sister to watch it, and she was about f six, five, 4 years old or something. She was really young. And I was like, no, I am not being held responsible for them nightmares. So turn that one off.
But when it comes to, as I said, Nightmare on Elm Street as well, because I know, we laugh about it, like we were talking about before we went live. When it comes to streaming or watching movies or watching TV for a thing, you literally go, "I want to watch this film." Log on the internet, and you can watch it within 30 seconds. Back in the day, you had a schedule. Either if it wasn't out, if it came out the cinema, you had to wait. If you weren't old enough to go out in cinema, you had to wait 6 months for it to come out in rental. If it if you didn't wait till rental, it used to be 1 year before it would come out on the TV, and it was only shown on one of the channels unless you were posh and had Sky. Not many people had Sky.
I did
It was
not.
so you used to get like your friends to videotape stuff, and then you used to borrow the videotape, but certain TV sh channels wouldn't show certain films. Like Rocky 3 was banned on TV for so long.
What,
Rocky
the one
3,
with Mr. T in?
yeah, because it was supposed
But
to be,
come along.
it was supposed to be too violent.
Okay.
So the terrestrial viewing for Rocky 3 didn't happen until later on. So it was, but it's the similar one, Nightmare on Elm Street. I remember it was years and years till it got a terrestrial TV premiere, and it was Channel 4, funny enough, that showed it, but
Of
they had
course, the edgy one.
a double bill. Because I remember it because they've done like the advertisements back then for Channel 4, like the movies and stuff was brilliant. It was like short for like a month, like adverts, and Nightmare on Elm Street's going to come out, we're going to watch it. Like, it was like, oh great. So they had the premiere of Nightmare on Elm Street and then Alien afterwards. So it was like a horror double bill that night.
Okay.
So that was the first time I saw Alien as well, which again blew my mind. One of the scariest horror films I've ever seen.
I kind I you know, If you know me and have listened to this podcast before, you will understand that I'm not lying when I said I have not seen a lot of things. That has obviously changed in 4 years of doing this podcast. But at the start of it, I had a list as long as my arm of stuff that I have not seen. And I, in a way, regret waiting so long to watch a lot of things. But in a way, I kind of don't. I'm kind of glad. I regret not having the experience growing up because like I say, I love horror and I have done since I was 8 years old, and I've watched some stupid horror movies. But I just wish I saw the ones that would still have an impact today.
Right, okay.
Like I can't remember watching Aliens. Like I don't th I think I watched it. I think if I remember rightly, I went out to Asda one day and they had the whole box set on DVD for like a fiver. So I bought it, and that was probably my first viewing. My first viewing, a Predator is a different matter though. Predator I watched and I absolutely loved, but I never watched the second one or anything else until last year. Alien, all the aliens, all the rest of them, didn't watch them till last year either.
So, because I know we've watched a lot of like new movies for yourself on this podcast as well. When
Yeah.
we did the Big Trouble in Little China review, was that the first
Oh
time of
shit,
you viewing that as well?
yeah. So it's so funny because I don't know why, but I always check my memories on Facebook, and one came up saying, "Finally ticked off the box, Big Trouble in Little China." I was like, "You fucking liar! You did not watch that." Because the first time I watched it was when we did the review for it, and it absolutely, I don't know what I was expecting, but that was not what I was expecting. I don't think I was long off doing the thing. No, I had watched the thing years
So
ago, and I
is
was
this the love of the love of Kurt Russell started for this time there? Is this where the
pretty much,
obsession got
pretty much. And then Tango and Cash just like fucking put that nail in the coffin. Yeah, it was. I had just not long done the thing. And so that was like kind of like watch that with fresh eyes and then watch this. And I was kind of expecting that same kind of very, very different. Very different.
Certainly, and again, like when we watched Big Trouble in China, it was amazing having that conversation with you and Lee, seeing you light up as well. One of the ones we did watch from the 80s, and you watched for the first time, I know initially you weren't over the moon with it until the episode where we had a conversation about it, and then there was some part of the conversation that the film actually started clicking. You'll get, oh yeah, fuck, I did actually enjoy that movie, The Princess Bride.
This bride, I knew you were gonna say that. I
Yeah.
knew you were gonna say that. What this is me in a nutshell. I'll watch something and I'll have an initial thought. It's either shit or it's good. It's either good or it's shit. And at the time, I was kind of sitting in the middle with it. But as we talk through it, and the Kelly and Sonia and yourself giving all these like really good points, I was like, actually, that was a really good film.
It was
I really,
hilarious
I did actually really enjoy that.
because like you logged in, you were like, what did you make us watch? I was like, well, but let's break it down. Why did you not like this movie? And you were like saying these things. I was like, yeah, but this is why this happened, and this is the thing. And you were like, oh shit, oh yeah, I did like that. It was one of
This is,
the funniest experiences that I've ever seen on this
but
podcast as well.
this is me in a nutshell. I have to talk through things in order to get an actual, like, genuine feeling of how I felt about it. I did it with them. We did an episode of Pet Sematary on Monsters Up North, which is another 80s great horror movie. We did that and we just watched Bloodlines, and I didn't really know how I felt about it. I knew I liked it, but I didn't know how I genuinely felt about it in the grand scheme of Pet Sematary. And the more I talked about it, the more I started falling in love with it. And I was like, holy shit, that was such a good fucking film. But I do it after the fact. I don't do it while watching it. I'll do it after it, which is weird. Sometimes I can watch something like, for example, Sinners. Just watch Sinners. Instantly, boom, like that is a brilliant movie, and this is the reasons why this is brilliant. But sometimes it does take my brain a long time to go, right, you need to break this down. Why was it good? Why did you enjoy it? And this is why I love doing what I do.
Was fine. It was just an experience, because I think a lot of people don't realize like how stupid and how like much of a comedy The Princess Bride is.
So
It's very
good.
much like, I say, very much of a British humor as well, because that was like when we're having the conversation, it at times it feels like it's a Monty Python sketch,
Yeah.
and that's why I kind of love it as well.
One of my favorite episodes we did last year, and it's another 80s movie, is The Shining.
All right, yes.
It's one of my favorite episodes. I absolutely loved it because I was literally 2 hours off finishing the book, and then we recorded, and just you and Kelly allowing us to talk me way through the book to be like, shit, I actually really enjoyed the book as well. That was a really good book. Yeah, I really like that. Like, just you, I love when people give us the time to like kind of work stuff out in my brain so I can like kind of decide where I am with it. So that episode is one of my favorites from last year. Such a good episode. Go and watch it.
After this one, of course. But yeah, like
Please.
it's amazing when you go through like all the different types of movies that we got in the 80s as well. I know we've like spent a little moment on horror, but there's certain films that are meant to be like kids movies or kid friendly and like very adult themed. Like talk about like Stand By Me, for example. Like
Oh.
the like who didn't want to have that type of friendship? Who didn't want to have that kind of like moment where you kind of like, I know the tone is you're going to see a dead body, but to have an adventure like that.
But who didn't want to go and find that dead body? Because I did. I wanted to know. It's watching it back now just gives me the warm and fuzzies because it'll always remind us of that Saturday morning, you know, the first Saturday after the 6 weeks holidays, and you are literally like watching the cartoons, then you're ready to go on your bike and you'll be out all fucking day doing God knows what. You'll come back absolutely manky because, you know, I live in Shiny Row. And then you'll come back home and then you'll do it all over again the next day. And it just brings them warm and fuzzy feelings back of this of summers that we had as kids.
Yeah, and it's right because like certain friendships as your kids as well, you never have the same friendships again, and it encapsulates like that type of feeling, that innocence in a way, which is Jake.
I'm just reading Jake's comment.
Just the record, I've never wanted to find a dead body.
Oh, the amount of things, like, it's so weird because like I live now on the street that I grew up in, and my friends that I grew up with still live on that street. We still live literally 2 seconds away from each other. No, and it's so weird. Like, we are still like the best of friends, but we hardly ever speak to each other. But instantly, I know if I need them for whatever reason, and vice versa. In a second, it's like no time has passed. It's crazy.
And going on from, I know going from Slam, we'll be jumping from film to film in this episode, so
Oh, all over the
but
place. This is the point of it. It's just an open conversation. You don't know where it's going. There's no set. There's no scripts. Not this time. Not now.
One of the ones that does, it kind of gets a lot of flack now, but I still remember it like very fondly. I still enjoy it. I know Spielberg made some choices by going back and changing elements from like thing, but E.T., like that film now still gets a lot of shit, and I don't know why.
Why though? Like, why does it get so much shit? Because I know the reason I won't watch it first because I'm too emotionally damaged to actually watch it. I'll always remember Michaela as a kid watching. She didn't even watch the whole film. She watched like the last hour or half an hour, and she's fucking in hysterics at the end of it. And that was enough for me to go, I never want to see this film ever again.
Just a bit of like nerdy lore for you here. So 1982 was the year I was born. This is the year this movie was it came out as well. So like I say, I watched this movie growing up. I loved the movie. Like I say, E.T. phone home, Elliot, and but the marketing around this movie is so fucked up and so hilarious. They
Yeah.
created a giant finger that they had to recall because it looked like a dildo. So people were saying it's an E.T. dildo, so they recalled that. Atari produced one of the most unsuccessful franchise games that they couldn't sell and had to get rid of. That there's a hole in Mexico where there is like all thousands and thousands of these games buried.
No, there's an ET video game graveyard,
Yeah.
and I didn't know about it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand the hate for it. I understand for myself that it's too emotional. I can't handle that level of emotion. And it's like the same with Land Before Time. Like, we own Land Before Time, by the way, on DVD, and it's still sitting and it's wrapping that it had did from 18 years ago because I will never, ever watch that film again. It's too hard. heartbreaking. It's too, I can't take that
When
level of emotion.
Littlefoot's rubbing his head against his dead
Oh,
mum.
fuck, don't do it. Like, I don't even get like that bad for Bambi, but that broke me. Like,
Yeah.
and it's stuff like that. It stays with you.
But that's the type of cartoons we got as a kid, like in the 80s as well. Like I know,
What
like
were they
we got
thinking?
like Disney ones, but if you think about it, we got Land Before Time, we got American Teal, like
Yeah.
Fievel. It's about this mouse
Fievel.
comes to America because the evil cats Cossacks of things. So there's no cats in America.
Who did the voice for the cat again?
Oh, I can't remember now. But yeah, I remember like I say, and the one I'm sure this was the 80s. Again, someone might tell us wrong. It's the movie that you will never watch. No Dogs Go to Heaven.
All dogs go to
All
heaven.
Dogs Go to Heaven, sorry.
I will never, ever,
Yeah.
ever watch that movie again. And even worse now, it was 1989, so you're
Right.
just on the
Just I
cusp.
just got that one in.
Just on it. Yeah, I had to be physically removed from the cinema, like literally picked up and taken out because I was in such a catastrophic, hysterical state.
Yeah.
And my auntie, bless her heart, I went with my auntie and my oldest cousin, and we ended up, all I remember is like, I think I blacked out because the next thing I know, I'm in Burger King being cheered up with a Burger King gold hat. Remember the crowns and yeah. Been trying to like cheered up with like toys and shit because I was so bad. And now even as an adult, it's even worse. Because the little girl who plays in the movie, Judy Barcy, who is also the voice of Petrie in Land Before Time, she was murdered before that film was finished. And who does it? Is it Tom Selleck? No. Who does the dog's voice?
But
Tash. Burt Reynolds?
Burt Russell, Burt Reynolds, aye.
Is it Burt?
I'm sure it was Burt
Yeah, Burt
Russell,
Reynolds.
but
It
yeah.
is Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds had the goodbye, goodbye Charlie speech, had to do that to say goodbye to her when she was dead. And he's crying his eyes out while he's doing it. No. I won't. No.
Right.
That movie doesn't exist.
I'm gonna top your trauma though, like one more, like before we move into the film trauma, we'll go the still in the cartoon realm.
Oh no.
I remember watching, because I was a big Transformers fan, Transformers the movie.
Oh
They
God.
killed, like spoilers, they killed Optimus Prime.
So I don't think you can spoil something from 83.
Just there might be Transformer fans that haven't watched it yet and they want to experience it. But yeah, they killed Optimus Prime.
They did. They most certainly did.
And you're like sitting there going,
That
no, they can't kill Optimus. And like you're sitting there going, wait, and he's going to bring him back. And his lights go out. And it's like, oh
Oh
no.
yeah,
Right.
that was so. We last year did a Transformers watch along, me and my husband. We started from Michael Bay's first two, and we ended. We did the new one, the new animated one that came out, which is really good, by the way. If you're a Transformers fan, please go and watch it because it is really good. But then we ended it with that movie,
Yeah.
and it just brings all the memories back.
So, if we're talking about trauma, what movie traumatized you the most from the 80s?
Think you've just fucking did it. I think you've just said it.
No, movie,
Oh.
not the cartoon,
Not
like,
animated.
no.
Okay, movie. You have to give us some time to think.
Turn around and look at what you see.
You know I didn't watch that film. You know. That's not trauma. That's just pure hatred.
And we need to just get some information out here because, like I say, every time we've talked about the like say Never Ending Story in the past, Sammy's given out fake news. She said the horse died. The horse didn't die, Sammy.
Oh, we know. We cleared that up, didn't we? Because
Yeah.
we had an agreement last year that if, because I think it was Sonia who was part of this agreement, said if we did not another teen movie, I could let you do
The Never
Never
Ending
Ending
Story.
Story.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't happen. We never did not another teen movie. But what we did do was a 12-hour charity stream where we got to pick our own movies. Guess which one Paul picked?
You had a choice. You could have put not a teen movie in there, but you failed that challenge.
Do you know what? It would have really went with the theme of what I went with on that 12 hours because I went with a lot of parodies. I'm trying to think of like, oh, I've got it. I've got it. How could I forget this one? This is a movie that I never thought in a million years that I would ever mention out loud. It being, it's, you know, when I say Ghostbusters is my all-time favorite movie, The Exorcist, because I'm like so fucking cool. The one that really is like sits there amongst my favorites is Steel Magnolias.
All right. Not
Yeah, I think I mentioned it on the first episode where I was like, well, I love all these really cool movies, and you know, but Steel Magnolias is one of my favorites. Shelby's death will always. It's not so much Shelby's death, it's the reaction to Shelby's death that gets us more than anything. It's Sally Field's performance of telling her friends that not only has her daughter now gone, there's a lot of things she couldn't even do while she was alive, and she can, and it's never been fair. And it's like, oh, fucking hell. The delivery is just, it proper gut punches you. But then you've got Olivia Dukakis coming in with one of the best lines where she just shoves Shirley MacLaine in front of her and says, slap her. Like, it's so good. It's such a brilliant cast as well. Yeah, how could I forget Steel Magnolias?
Kelly's screaming beaches at you as well.
Kelly, I only watch Beaches in my early 20s, and because I felt like I was cheating on Steel Magnolias, I turned it off halfway through.
Sammy can't cheat on Steel Magnolias, but yeah.
No.
One of the films that I did want to talk about, just because, as well, because I think it influenced a nation at the time, because I can't remember that many kids taking up this activity afterwards, because I know all the kids in my school did. And the new movie came out this week. Oh, was it last week? The Karate Kid.
Yes.
Daniel
Oh.
Russo,
Daniel LaRusso,
yeah.
the not the Karate Kid. Let's just make that absolutely perfectly clear. It was, why can't I think of his name?
I
Why
can't.
can't I think of his name?
You call yourself a How You Met Your Mother fan.
Oh, that is it. Do you know what? That is, I do love How You Met Your Mother. That is part of the reason why I do feel this way, is because of well, I know it's William Zafra, I know his real name. I just can't remember what his name is. Why is the Legends one coming up? I don't give a shit about Legends. Oh, Johnny Lawrence, man, Jesus Christ. How could I forget that? Yeah, it was How I Met Your Mother is when Neil Patrick Harris's character kicks off because they're getting Daniel LaRusso as his birthday present because he loves the Karate Kid so much, and he's like, he's not the Karate Kid. And Lawrence was the Karate Kid. And then they did the whole thing in Cobra Kai, and it just, I was like, yes, everyone's on board with it.
But if you think about it is such a like a cliched movie. It's so much fun, but it brought in so many different elements like wax on, wax off. Mr. Miyagi, like iconic. I used to have
Bonsai tree sales must have gone right up after that movie.
I remember that like one of the toys I bought as a kid was the chopsticks with a bit of string on with a rubber fly. So you used to
Shut
try and
up,
catch the
man.
fly like on the like say, like on like Mr. Miyagi did, and like I remember doing that. And the crane kick, like how many people, like I remember getting into a fight at school and trying to do the crane kick, and it didn't work, but still, I tried it.
I bet the other person just stood there and was like, what the fuck are you doing? What
But
are you doing? Yeah, the Karate Kid. Oh my God. I do love that film. What I loved even more is what came out of it, like years and years and years later. Like, and it still managed to capture an audience that wasn't even around when the movie came out.
No, as I said, there's an element to it that's great, but I think with theaters as well, like martial art movies was huge. There was like a lot of different types, like Van Damme became like a household name. Like some of the good ones, some of the bad ones. Like I remember No Retreat, No Surrender being an absolutely terrible movie, but absolutely loving it just because like things. But I think Bloodsport came out as well, Kickboxer, all these different types of like martial art movies, and like I think the China O'Brien movies as well. And we got like the Karate Kid as like the young youthful like kid one as well. But
That's such a good shout.
we had some of the wackiest and craziest concepts for movies as well. I'll just name a few just to go off the head. Mannequin. Have you seen Mannequin?
I have seen Mannequin.
Yeah.
Hollywood. Yes, I have seen Mannequin. Scary as fuck, the idea of it, if you really think about
Kim
it.
Cattrall looking amazing, just saying.
Oh, Kim Cattrall can do no wrong. I still love that woman very much. Yeah. Weird idea. Go on.
Others like that came out, Krull, which was basically like a live action D&D with a flying ninja star, cyclops and witches. Honestly,
Have I seen Krull? I don't think I've seen Krull.
it is basically just live action D&D, so you would probably love it. And one of the ones that we've talked about quite a bit on the Nerdy Up North page this week, batteries not included. These little alien spaceships that come down and fix things.
It's one of my husband's favorites,
Mm-hmm.
and I still have not seen it. We actually bought it for
Right.
the to for me to watch, and no, I've still never
No.
seen it. Nope, sorry, sorry. I'm just looking at Krull. It looks amazing.
Inner space.
Right, which one's that one? Because if I remember rightly, I got one mixed up with another one before. Which one's Inner Space?
Inner spaces. Martin Shaw gets shrunk. Get no. Get Randy Quaid
Yes.
gets shrunk down, and he starts going through his
Dennis
organs.
Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Randy Quaid.
It would have
Whatever.
been much more interesting if it was Randy
Yeah. Dennis
Quaid.
Quaid. That's the one.
Because
Sorry.
fuck Dennis Quaid. But yeah, I have seen that one.
Little Monsters.
Now we know I've not seen that one because didn't we do a trailer reaction for that?
Yeah, it's got what's he called him out with the Wonder Years on it.
And it's also oh God, he played Gizmo. But he's also like, I can't think of what his name is at the top of my head. Yeah, no, not seen it, but saw the trailer for it.
About all the different monsters that go with this thing. Again, a Dan Aykroyd movie, My Stepmother is an Alien.
Never seen it, but have heard of it.
Well, it's like all these weird and wonderful concepts, like absolutely just blows my mind that they actually got made. Like they would never get made these days, unless it was by Shudder or something like a B movie
Oh,
like
yeah.
experience. But Fred Savage there, that was the person. But yeah.
Fred Savage, thank you. They've mentioned a couple of movies. Well, sorry, Tony mentioned one, La Bamba,
Yeah.
and there was a few bio films of the 80s that were, absolutely brilliant. La Bamba being one of them. I don't know why, but this is one of my rabbit hole things. Is if I hear something about That Night with Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and Ritchie Valens, I then go on this whole rabbit hole of that whole night, and I love La Bamba. I think Lou Diamond Phillips is absolutely superb in it. And there's another one with Kevin Costner, where he plays Elliot Ness, con
Oh, the
the
Untouchables.
Untouchables.
With
Fucking love that. F
Sean Connery,
Sean
who's
Connery,
with the
yeah.
he was supposed to be Irish, wasn't
I think he was meant to be Irish, a
he?
Scotchman playing an Irishman, but the greatest bio film to come out of the 80s, Mummy Dearest. Or you've never seen Mummy Dearest?
Can't remember. It's not one on my radar there.
Mummy Dearest is the story of Joan Crawford.
Right.
It's a book that came out by her daughter after she died, basically saying she was the fucking worst mother in the world. No wire hangers, that's where it comes from. It's Faye Dunaway playing Joan Crawford. Faye Dunaway thought this was like gonna, could you? Yeah, no, everyone hated it. It's so campy, it's so brilliant, it's so over the top. You've seen Alyssa Edwards do Joan Crawford on Snatch Games, and she do all the lines. They are all the Faye Dunaway lines from Mummy Dearest. It is so brilliant. So yeah, Mummy Dearest, brilliant 80s bio film.
Bless you. I'm just trying to think of like other films. Like, did we talk about The Murderer yet? The
The which one?
Murderer.
Which oh Christ, we have to.
It is an
I
iconic
don't even
80s.
like the I don't even like the film.
I like the film. I think a twist and shout is like that. That is an iconic scene.
It's the
But
only thing that's funny is, and oh God, it's not even just got a murderer in it, it's got an absolute peddler in as well. Bloody Geoffrey Jones is in it.
yeah.
Yeah. The only funny part is when Cameron is on the phone to the principal and he's playing his dad. That is the only hilarious part of that whole film. But Matthew Broderick and getting the fucking bin.
Well, yeah, but I think it would be a miss if we weren't talking about 80s movies and not mention Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You're right, because a lot of people
it is
do have a lot of
iconic.
love for it.
And again, like Dayton Matthew Broderick out, I do love the movie, and I always had a crush on Baby from Dirty Dancing as well. So,
Jennifer Grey.
yeah,
Jennifer Grey's old face.
The only person who can have a nose job and kill a career.
How does that happen? She
Yeah.
didn't even look like the same person.
No.
There's so many episodes of the Nerdy Up North podcast that we have done that covers 80s movies, because I have literally just gone through a list and I could just picked out handfuls of ones that we've done. Fucking Gremlins, The Lost Boys, The Shining, The Lost Boys, wow, that's a good one. I'm trying to, oh yeah, and this is the decade that give you an American Werewolf in London. This is when you talk about taking risks, this is one of them. Has one of the best transformation werewolf scene ever.
No, that's the because I think when you come to the 80s as a decade, that's where a lot of people do like start with and go with, and like they'll stay in the horror for quite a bit. Because again, I know me and you, we love our horror movies,
We do.
and especially with you doing monsters as well, that's kind of like the bread and butter. And I think everyone kind of gets hanged on saying like, oh yes, the 80s had so many. I think because of like the horror movies that came out, they weren't the same type of horror movies. There were all these different types. There was like teen horrors like in Lost Boys. There was absolutely horrible, scary in like The Evil Dead. There was like sci-fi horror in like Alien and The Thing. Psychological horror like The Shining. Like all these
Just
different elements that kind of brought it out. And
yeah.
again, what I think kind of get lost with the 80s as well is the people that kind of give us like not just like certain like comedy movies or like action movies and stuff. It's like the actors like Goldie Hawn came like the movies that
Overboard.
Overboard, Wildcats, Saving Private Benjamin, like
Oh.
again Richard Pryor, like Brewster's Millions, Say No Evil, Hear No Evil, like all that. Was that the 80s or 70s? Say
I
No.
can never remember when it comes to that kind of comedy because there's such a fine line between it. I generally, why am I looking? No wonder I'm mentioning horror films. The freaking list I've got up is 80s horror.
Right, so that's where you're coming from. But again,
My God.
it gives us things like movies like Adventures with Babysitting, which again is absolutely amazing. One of my favorite films, one of Dan's favorite films.
One
Like,
of Dan's favorite films. Dan
yeah.
even has her own section on monsters where she can link the movie we are doing to Adventures in Babysitting or Chris Columbus,
Yeah. Oh,
which
definitely.
essentially will bring you to Adventures in Babysitting. I have seen it,
Yes,
just to make that very clear.
and one of the greatest soundtracks and like the songs in that film as well. Like it stands up to any like because people always say Lost Boys has one of the greatest soundtracks like in movies, which again I'm not going to argue
It
against.
does.
Yeah, but like films like Adventures with Babysitting does stand up there. And again, because there's so many ones I want to mention as well, like Flight of the Navigator is just one of the most weirdest batshit concept film. I don't think you've seen it. You saw the trailer and you're like, what the
I've
fuck am I
seen the
watching?
trailer, yeah. I thought that's what I thought Inner Space was. That's where I'm getting confused. A movie that I genuinely thought was a horror film, for a long time. There's actually two, and I don't know if one of them is 80s or it's 90s. But the one I definitely know is 80s, Splash. Genuinely thought it was a horror film. You see Daryl Hannah's tail, you see Daryl Hannah's legs change into that fucking realistic tail. I shit a brick. Like, no. And the other one was Howard the Duck. Like, that is a genuine one. I genuinely thought for such a long time that Howard the Duck was a horror film, and I'd refuse to watch it.
But it's crazy, like, because people like talk about like IP or like things that came from like certain things, and probably don't even think of them as 80s movies, but give us things like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, did Indiana Jones come in the 80s or 70s? Like, did it
80s,
start?
Raiders
Did
start in the 80s, right? Bill
He
and
had a
Ted.
whole decade of it. Oh, Bill and
Bill and Ted.
Ted.
Like Roger Rabbit, stuff like that. Like, honestly, films
Game
that you.
changer, Roger Rabbit.
They've tried to replicate or like kind of chain keep it the same as like do
God,
this
do it.
thing, but that was kind of like capturing the man. Like Bob Hoskins was absolutely unbelievable in that movie.
Chef's kiss.
But like say, giving us actors like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like his big films like Commando, Red Heat, was it, or was it Raw Heat? Red, I think it was Red Heat. Predator, there's like the list can go on, like all the different films that he kind of brought out. And then you had the whole like kind of 80s face off, like who were you, either a Stallone fan or were you an Arnie fan? Like
That's
that.
so hard. That is so hard. Even now, like I couldn't to weigh them two up. It's so difficult to do. But one movie I remember, I was so excited for this. I was growing up a huge He-Man fan. Huge He-Man fan. I had everything to do with He-Man, and doesn't understand it at all. He really doesn't understand my love of He-Man and my love of She-Ra.
Did you
They
have the
were.
power?
I did. I had the power.
Apparently,
The
after that
freeze
movie as
spell.
well, we're still. It's Skeletor said he'd be back, and we're still fucking waiting.
Fuck, he's dead now. The guy who played him. But yeah, and then Masters of the Universe came out, and I was so fucking excited. Like my parents were thrilled. They were like, "Oh, maybe this is another film we can move away from Ghostbusters now." It's so bad. Like even as a kid, I knew it that was not my He-Man. That was not Adam. That was not. I was so devastated. And Skeletor, like he didn't scare us, but I
No.
kind of questioned him a lot. Like you look so weird. I would love. I know we're not doing movies anymore, but I would love to do like a sit down talk on Masters of the Universe at some point.
Just experience like what it was. But again, it's taken like a concept that where a cartoon was made to sell toys,
Yeah, and it did.
and
I
then
bought
the
them all.
then they made the film, but they took the film out of the world that they were in, Eternity, put them in,
Yeah.
like, say, just for budgeting reasons, I believe, as well. That was the reason why they did it. So they went, oh, we'll just have He-Man in New York type thing and see what shit goes down. Having Courtney Cox in as well, which was again strange, but
Yeah.
it works. But this.
She's there. I just want to make it very clear that I did watch Ghostbusters every day, but it doesn't mean that I didn't watch other stuff alongside it. Just to make that perfectly clear, just because I literally did watch it every first thing on a morning, straight away, boom, get it done. Another one that has my heart in a grip, and probably is like growing up, I was very much a boy's boy. Like I loved my action figures, Star Wars, Transformers, He-Man. The one like even in Star Wars, I never really gravitated towards the likes of Princess Leia because, you know, why would I? Luke Skywalker's there. There's one character, one movie that kind of made me look at a female in a strong sense, and it was Supergirl.
All right. Well, oh, what was she called again? I
I'm gonna
remember
find
because
it.
I'd say that was one of my
Kara
first stuff.
Zor-El is the but it is Helen Slater who plays her.
Helen Slater, that's the one.
This movie turned me on my ass. Like, a female superhero? What? Don't exist? Like, and again, it's got Faye Dunaway in it as well. You know, Mami Dearest, Faye Dunaway. Peter O'Toole as well. I
Susan, was
loved
Susan
this.
Sarandon in that, or was it, am I making that up?
Mia Farrow's in
Mia,
it.
right,
Mia Farrow. Maureen Tiefney, who is of Grease 2 fame. Yeah, I absolutely adored this film so much. This is like my first gateway into like, oh, this is what my job, this is what my gender can do. Holy shit, didn't know. Like I love She-Ra, but there was not a great deal of stuff to go up. Like I had the action figures, great, wonderful. We had a movie. It was all right, like an animated movie, but then to see it in real life, like full on in real, watching her fly around. Oh, I loved it. Supergirl, such a good film.
Written again, what was one of the best superhero films ever made, Superman 2. Depends which version you watch now. Is
Well,
it?
that's kind of the, going back. I've loved the journey we've been on with Superman over the last, like, God, since last year. But Superman 2 was another one. It was one of my dad's favorite films of all time, is Superman 2. But I didn't know up until we started doing, you know, from last year that there was even cuts and problems, and it looks mind-blowing because when I watched it, it was a movie,
Just
you
like
know.
kneel
And
before Zod, and you're like, yes,
yeah, I will.
Stan, I will do that.
Just to answer Jake, I'm not that clever as Dan is, by the way. If you watch me when she does her links, I am an Oh, I can't do shit like that.
Sammy goes cross-eyed, but yeah.
Pretty much.
We mentioned it a little briefly, but I want to spend a little bit of time talking about it as well, just because it is one of my guilty pleasures, and I loved it as a kid as well. Dirty Dancing. You can't put Baby in the Corner.
You can't
Nobody
put
put
Baby in the
the
corner.
corner. Like,
Yeah, this is the I do love this film. You can't deny it. I do. I love this film. Patrick Swayze is just fucking brilliant.
oh, he is beautiful. Like,
Oh,
honestly,
isn't he?
like,
He's godlike in that
I
movie.
wanted him to lift me the way he lifted it as well, but
It's weird because I went through I love movies of the 50s, whether that be it set in the 50s genre or it is actually a movie from the 50s. So I love these kind of like vintage style like looks. And I went through a whole day. I watched a movie that I think is again from the 80s, and do not come for me for the name. It is actually what it is called. It's called Shag. It is a dance that and it's got Bridget Fonda in it and Phoebe Katz, and I love it. And it's set in like kind of 50s style. And then I watched A League of Their Own and I watched Dirty Dancing. My husband sat and watched every single one of them with us, and we fucking loved it. The
Dirty.
soundtrack for Dirty Dancing is fucking
Oh,
unreal.
it's one of those movies that you think, oh, like, what's it about? Oh, dancing. You're like, oh, I don't want to really watch. Like, as a teenager, I was like, or even as a kid, I was like, I don't want to watch this. Then you watch it, and you're going, oh, this is interesting. It's good.
That's
Oh,
some cool fucking dancing. That's some
good.
cool dancing. That's some dirty
That's
dancing.
some Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, every song that is on that soundtrack is on Ant's playlist. It's a fucking banging soundtrack.
I dare say we need to do a watch along on the Discord for Dirty Dancing.
Fuck yes. Yes, absolutely. If yous didn't know, by the way, and if you are listening outside of the Nerdy Up North realm of socials, we do have a Discord that you can come and join, and they do hold regular watch-alongs. And if you have a suggestion, by and we can get it, they will do it.
Only if Chris and Lee reenact the dance from Dirty Dancing as well together. But
That just needs to happen regardless. Regardless, that just needs
but
to
Chris has to
happen.
lift Lee up because Chris doing all the press ups now. He's going to be all
Oh, he's gonna be buff as fuck, isn't
swollen stuff to do it. So,
he?
I've just
Yeah.
because I would be at miss. And again, I've purposely not talked out as much because I know
I wondered.
as everyone would be expecting it. Let's talk about not I wouldn't say the greatest because again we've had that conversation, but to me the film that means the most to me in the world, the reason that we have Nerdy Up North, the reason we have all of this, is because of the one and the only Goonies. Yeah, that's
Do you
stuff.
want to tell the people if we potentially have new listeners? We've had a lot of new we've had a lot of increase in our viewership recently, and thank you everyone who has listened and watched and comes and joins us in our lives. Do you want to tell the people how the Goonies has a direct influence on Nerdy Up North?
Again, I think most of my stories, people expect them to be like crazy or stupid or me doing stupid things, but this one's a quite a sweet one, I think.
It is
It's
so sweet.
quite a nice story. But just to like, because Sammy did mention something there that I do want to say thank you to everyone who has joined. I don't know if people's noticed we've hit over 3,000 new subscribers on the Nerdy Up North YouTube channel. I can say that's a big part of Taffeta Darling and her episode going nuclear, but still.
Potentially.
but yes.
But I'd like to think it's because of our beautiful voices and faces.
But yes. Yeah, so during lockdown, like I say, everyone went a bit crazy and went a bit nuts. I think people were starved of doing anything creative, anything where you could have a conversation because we literally had to go to work or like work from home or look at the walls and do anything. And again, I've always loved the Goonies. And one of my friends put up a post on Facebook because they had two kids, like around about one I think was about 8 and the other one was about 12. They do a regular movie night. And they said the night they were going to do was the Goonies. So the young boy was bought a Superman top, not told why. Julie basically took pictures throughout the night of all the different expressions and how they reacted to watching the Goonies. As I said, Goonies is one of the most adventure, fun-filled, friendship-filled things. There's things that'll scare you, like the fatalities or nightmare fuel. It'll make you laugh. Sloth. scares you at first, and you fall in love with them, and you want to take them home, like Chunk does, which can answer raises so many different questions. But
well, you don't think of things like that because it's the '80s, and things like that didn't happen in the '80s.
No, but yeah, they basically took pictures and seeing their like expressions there. When Sloth ripped his top open to reveal the Superman top, like the young lad who's been on the podcast, actually, he was on the wrestling one, jumped up in joy and started celebrating because he was wearing the same t-shirt. And seeing that kind of interaction, that kind of like thing, it kind of brought something out. It's like, I want to talk about this type of stuff. I want to have that kind of interaction. That's kind of like the birth of where Nerdy Up North came from. It was the idea of just having a place where anyone could talk about stuff that they love without being feared or have someone to go poke you and say, you can't like that. You can't enjoy this. And it kind of started from then, like snowballed to the point where I can't get the fucking rid of yous. Four years later.
4 years ago, you put a post up saying, does anyone want to write for a website now? And what are you doing? Because I don't think if you don't know, me and Paul have actually known each other a lot longer than Nerdy Up North's been going. Mm-hmm. We have a friendship that goes back nearly 20 years. So when you put that up, I was like, what are you doing?
It's because Sammy used to fancy us, so it's fine. I didn't worry.
That is not a true story, by the way.
We'll start them in net rumors one day, don't worry.
Yeah, we've known each other a very, very long time. Too long.
Some of Sammy's friends, different story, but yeah, we'll not go there.
That's a true story.
But yeah.
That was a very true story.
Yeah, so
yeah, Goonies birthed this.
Yeah, so we wouldn't have this. So if it wasn't for me being obsessed with like a stupid childhood movie where used to be on every bank holiday, every like on a Sunday, and seeing it in different versions, it's hilarious to watch because when we watched as a kid on ITV, all the swear words cut out. There were certain things. There was when Sloth goes up against the window. If you watch the Blu-ray, it changes everything now.
Watch the Blu-ray.
He's like, shit. It's like, what?
Well, it'll be like when in Big, when he did the fuck, and I was like, what? When I was a kid, I always remember my mum waiting to see if the It's a Stiff was in there, because then she would know what version that was being put on, and if it was there, then she'd be like very cautious. But if she wasn't, then she was fine just to leave us alone. So yeah, It's a Stiff line was always the one that was either in there or cut.
So again, contract stuff gets changed. If you can watch Adventures of Babysitting, get the DVD, get the Blu-ray. Don't watch it on Disney Plus, because all the bad language is took out on Disney Plus. Because there's a scene on the train where this gang goes up to him and goes, don't fuck with the Lords of Hell. And she goes, don't fuck with the babysitters. And they've changed it so it doesn't say anything rude and anything like that. Just don't fluff
with the babysitters.
it just loses the tone of the conversation and like what's going on at the moment. So it kind of kills the vibe a bit. But so we wouldn't, like say, all this that's happening wouldn't be without this movie. And it is one of the greatest adventure movies, not just because of how I feel about it. If you go back like and watch it, if you want to just go for pure enjoyment, pure, like, don't want to overthink, just go on a ride. That's probably the best way I can describe it. It is like a theme park. You go through ups and downs. There's a slide. Go on YouTube and check out basically the deleted octopus scene. So that makes sense.
That scares me. That the idea of that being in there actually scares us, because I have this like image of this. I love octopuses. I even wear one on my finger. The idea of it just freaks me out, because that's not the vibe, to use that word, is not the vibe of the movie. I love the Goonies. How could you not? It's such a thrill adventure of, once again, giving you them warm and fuzzies of being a kid and just, you know, fuck consequences. Who cares about consequences? Let's just find it. We've got a treasure map. Let's just go and fucking follow it.
No, definitely. That's where you got to live with your life at times as well. Just like put a smile on your face, watch something that you enjoy. Because again, not to paraphrase Ferris Bueller, but like say, life can just pass you by if you don't, like say, I can't even remember the line now.
Good, because Matthew Broderick doesn't deserve your lines.
But just to name a few films that we haven't talked about, because I know, again, we could just, so I'll just like say name a few ones I think deserve
throw some out.
So War Games, Elvira.
Mistress of the Dark, my lady.
They Live.
They Live.
The Last
Star. I watched that last year.
The Last Starfighter, like Twins.
Like say, wow, Scanners. Twins.
Return to Oz, I know I've mentioned a little bit. Dead Poets Society.
Watch that last year. Please watch Dead Poets Society. Like, it's such a beautiful film.
Like The Three Amigos. So many things that came out at this time. And Team Wolf, like Michael J. Fox was, like, see, I know we've talked about Back to the Future. He was literally everything in the 80s and just everything
and
was brilliant.
A TV show. He wasn't just doing movies. He was contracted into a TV show. He was actually doing that while doing Back to the Future. So he's like the hardest working man of the 80s.
Yep. And like Harry and the Hendersons, Roadhouse, Airplane,
Roadhouse.
Die Hard, Uncle Buck, Clash of the Titans, The Naked Gun. All these
Clash
type of movies.
Clash of the Titans was 80s.
Mm-hmm. 80s, yeah.
Wow, okay.
So all these type of movies came out at this time. I don't think we've seen a decade since. I know people talk about the 90s. Like, yeah, we'll give 90s his credit. Like, 90s done films like Jurassic Park, Forrest Gump, Independence Day, Mrs. Doubtfire. So again, good movies, but
I would classics, say, like big budget classic bangers. These are low budget, on a dime string, done practically. Like a majority of them anyway, especially like, you know, with my horror background. But I understand, like, there's a lot of studio ones in there that just weren't as big as the 90s were.
But this is like, see how crazy it is, like Spaceballs, Weekend at Bernie's, Tango and Cash, Hairspray, Romancing the Stone, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Cocktail, Turner and fucking Hooch.
Oh my God. Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I've got to give a quick shout out to the Pee-wee documentary that's out at the moment, Pee-wee as himself. Oh my God, please go and watch it, even if like you are not a Pee-wee fan, just watch it for Paul Rubens and find out more about him and put to bed everything that you think you know about the man, because it's bullshit. It's horseshit. It's a two-part documentary on HBO. I watched it last week and I swear to God, I mean, I'm a Paul Rubens fan, but I am more of a Pee-wee fan because I actually thought Pee-wee was a person. I didn't realize. I didn't know he was. He was so good at this alter ego. I didn't realize there was another person in there.
Yeah.
I just thought Pee Wee Herman was a thing. And go and watch it. Fucking brilliant.
But it's scary. Like, we could spend all day like Beetlejuice, Escape from New York, Dune,
Dune. Oh my God, Dune.
Mad Max 2. Like all these films. Like, not just like horror. Like, talking about sci-fi films that broke the mold, like Star Trek. I think it was Search of Spock came out. Rathacan. I don't know. Rathacan might be earlier. We had a decade of basically Star Trek movies that came out. Like, and again, changed how we viewed. Like, we could watch anything that we kind of loved, and like, again, it was so unafraid, so unashamed. And just basically went, fuck, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're putting out. And it was exciting. And again, it was. Anyone who didn't see these movies, you could spend hours just going back and trying to find different things. And again, films that changed it. And films that changed the industry as well. And I know, again, it's not like everyone's back cup of tea. Blade Runner changed how movies was made.
Do you know what? I know we said we're not doing films anymore, but we really have to do Blade Runner because we said we're going to do it for about a year and a half and I still haven't seen it. So, and it's one of my mom's favourites. My mom is a huge my mom loves her sci-fi. She's a Trekkie. She loves Star Wars. Blade Runner was always one of our favourites and I just could not get on. I couldn't watch it. It's like my dad with the Warriors. My dad's favourite film, apart from Superman 2, is The Warriors. And I watched it, when was it, last year? And I was so bored. I was so bored.
Oh yeah, like literally we could still be like just reeling off names of movies that are just classics, like in any type of genre, that just blows your mind that all these movies was made in this 10 years period. That again, if you went back, say, name 5 movies from the 70s, you could probably do it. Name 10 movies from the 70s, you might struggle.
You would. I would struggle, yeah. Certainly.
So again, you could probably do it in the '90s, but again, I would say the '90s had a strong movies that you mentioned, blockbusters, big movie budgets.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller budgets didn't really hit, or they didn't really go out. This is where the '80s was strong, and that's where I'll always stand by that as the '80s as the greatest decade when it comes to movies.
I concur. Mm-hmm. I've never really had me hat in any place of saying like the '90s is better or the '80s is better, but over the last year, like I said, doing monsters and doing a fair few '80s horror, I have fallen so hard in love with the movie, because 80s horror, it doesn't have a place. It's not like, you know, it was the end of the slasher era, but it was the beginning of batshit craziness, and I love exploring it, and I love finding little gems of action movies that I've never seen before, or even rom-coms. Like, I'm not afraid to watch an 80s rom-com.
No.
So yeah, I think the 80s is still an exciting time to dive into and go and find them little gems. Yeah.
There's so much like lost things. Like, if you haven't heard of Weekend at Bernie's, you're going to go for a trip. Like, the premise of Weekend at Bernie's should not work on any level, but it fucking does.
And I never want to try it, because then that means one of my friends is going to be dead.
Well, we can kill one. It's fine. We'll see.
Just one?
Just one. But yeah. But yeah. Jake's trying to be diplomatic. Maybe it's the best take if anyone grew up. No, go back and watch the 80s movies, Jake. I am right.
Jake, we've had this argument before. We've taken it on a stage before.
Yes.
I don't think anyone is going to win. We're just going to have to agree to disagree.
Yes. So, what's happening tomorrow, Sammy?
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow. Monsters Up North has a brand new episode out. And it's a special one, because me and Dan got the opportunity to sit down with Predator himself, Ian White.
They're Predator, not a Predator, just putting that out.
When I was writing the intro out, I was actually going to put the Predator, like, I didn't know how to word it, so I was like, I'm just not going to do it. So we have Ian White joining us tomorrow for a very special episode, and then regular episodes will come out after that. But yes. Yeah, that is out tomorrow. What time is it going up? Sorry,
12 p.m. I think it's about 40 minutes long, so it's a nice bite-size lunchtime watch as well.
It wasn't the longest interview, but it was a great sit-down chat with him. Mm-hmm. And the audio for that episode and this episode will be available tomorrow afternoon from anywhere you get your podcast from.
Yes. And I've seen an image for Tuesday's Top Grumps. All I've got to say, it is going to be a must-watch. I am very terrified, and that's all I'm going to say. But Top Grumps this Tuesday is going to be a must-watch.
Well, one of them better get in the Discord and tell me what it is, because we now have a schedule that goes up for everything that is available on the Nerdy Up North YouTube.
Yeah.
Goes out every Monday, so they better get in there and tell us what it is.
Yes.
And then we have on Friday Anime Club.
Yeah, we've got Anime Club. They'll be having snacks. I don't think they're live this week. I think they're pre-recording. I don't know what time, but again, Phoebe will be the one thing. And again, if anyone hasn't checked out over the weekend, we've had a few new things that's hit the channel. Phoebe's History of British Theatre has hit. Honestly, I've just got to go. It is, like I say, one of the loveliest. And like I say, seeing someone being so passionate and just absolutely, like, again, you fall in love with how she speaks and how well she speaks as well. So again, it's just a short episode. Check that out. And she does a little intro, tell people how to get involved with the community podcast as well. So that was a very
amazing.
Nice thing.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And on Saturday, the countdown to Doomsday continues, even though Marvel have fucked up the sacred timeline. We are jumping in with Spider-Man.
But yes.
Homecoming.
Very nice.
As you can tell, I'm thrilled about it.
One thing I did want to mention as well is happy birthday to Wonk. The Women of Nerd Culture is officially 1 year old. Also, they did have an episode go out where they were trying to be controversial, so we say, where they asked the question, is Janeway the Federation villain? So
interesting.
So they're trying to rile up the Trekkies there.
Yes, happy big 1 year birthday to the women of nerd culture. I know I was part of it in the beginning, but you ladies have really taken it into the stratosphere. Well done. Congratulations. Love you both.
Yes. So yeah, so check that out. Them episodes are up now. All these different things you can watch, view. We try and give the nerds what you want and have a bit of fun with it as well. We won't be back next Sunday. No. So we're going to be a week again. It might be a few weeks. Just see how it goes. We're not going to come, but we do have plans for the return. So
We have big plans.
the next one might come back. We're going to be going in deep water, shall we say?
We are. Yeah, the format for all we're not doing, we're doing movies. We may actually do a movie once in a while that may be picked by the Nerdy of North community, maybe. But the idea is that it's going to be general conversation. We
Yes.
just want to talk. We just want to, like, today it's been a clusterfuck of love and affection for a genre of movies, and I've loved it. I've loved every second of it. So this is the idea going forward.
So
There you
yes.
go. Have it.
But yeah, there's a certain movie that turns as a 50-year anniversary, so I think it'd be a miss if we didn't d touch on that or experience that one again. So but yeah. A lot of good things planned, a lot of good things like I say on the horizon. Hopefully like I say hopefully a lot of things pan out, but we shall see. So again, it's not going to be same bad time. It's not going to be
It's
same
not going
bad
to be.
channel. I'll see you in the future.
Stay nerdy, everyone. Bye.
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 Let's put this bitch up so you can say goodbye. Bye, Goonies.
Bye. Bye.
Right.